What's up, Dialed fam? This is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and operator of Dialed Health, which is strength training for cyclists. On this beautiful Monday morning, hopefully it's nice wherever you're at, we're going to talk about protein. How much protein do you need to eat to be the optimal bike rider that you are? How much protein do you need to be the bike rider, person that's strength training, and just active human that you are? We're going to discuss specific numbers and not only how to calculate it, but really how to implement it. It's one thing to have this number to hit, but what foods do you actually eat? Because what I've learned is that it takes a little bit of experience, a little bit of thought to just stay on top of how much protein you're actually taking in. We're also going to discuss the differences between weight management using different protein levels and also how it affects your riding and kind of how they can support each other too, which is pretty cool. As always, we'll be doing a business update, let you know what's going on in the world of Dialed Health. We're going to start with that. Move on to a little life update. This is the reality show portion. Where you learn about the juicy deets of the Teal lifestyle. Just let you know what the heck's going on. And with that being said, I wanted to give a big shout out to @MattPool13 on Instagram for giving me this topic idea. He reached out through my DMs and it was great. I'm so stoked he told me because it probably would have been a while before I thought of it, and now it's here and I'm really fired up for this episode. So if you have any suggestions on what you'd like to hear about, please reach out through my website, dialedhealth.com, or @dialedhealth on Instagram, and I would really appreciate it. With that being said, let's get into it.
This is Stanley Hudson from The Office, here to say Dialed Health has a great business update this week.
Wow, Stanley, that's insane, man. I didn't expect you to call in. I really appreciate the shout out. Anything else that you wanted to say?
No.
Okay, that's fine. Well, you guys, he's right. This week, we have a huge announcement on dialedhealth.com, and it's the cross-country training program. It has been asked for by more people than anything, and I think it's really showing because as I launched it on November 1st, people on Instagram are just freaking out, man. It's so cool to hear the response, and I always say how excited I am about each program that comes out every month, but this one in particular, let me tell you. I was in such a clear headspace when I wrote it, and I think that's a funny thing to point out because I wrote it and I was able to really consider all the foundational proven science behind training programs. I like to follow the OPT model that I learned. And you do these like certifications, you read these textbooks, and there's all this great quality info, but you do have to interpret it for specificity. And in our case, specificity for bike riders. You know, we have to take this by the book and just put enough of a tweak on it to make sense. And that's really, I think, where my value is as a trainer. And it comes through in this program. So the whole foundation of the program, all scientifically based, but with Dialed Health spin on it to make sure that it has an extra emphasis in core and stability. And it's also still phasing you properly and taking you through the 7 effective movements, which is horizontal push and pull, vertical push and pull, hip hinge, knee dominant, and then, hip dominant, knee dominant, and core. So I guess I'm not in as clear of a headspace as I was when I wrote it. I can't even re-say that right now, but it's really exciting. So go check that out. If you're a road cyclist, this is definitely your best answer to a program so far. And we're going to be putting out a road program soon. I think we're going to be doing a mobility one in December, a downhill one in January, and probably a road program after that. So stay patient, but I will say this is a very, very close one to what the road program will be. And I'm still trying to figure out the ins and outs, and I need to do a little research actually. So anyways, stay patient. Enjoy this new cross-country program. If you have any questions on it, let me know, and I'm just freaking hyped on it. So other than that, on the website, I did a new blog post just talking about how to choose a program. And I mentioned last week on the podcast that we're still trying to make the website easier to navigate, not because it's hard. I mean, all the content's right there, but I don't want anyone to have to make a decision that they're not sure about. So this blog post should really help answer some questions. There are questions that I've gotten from people, and it's a great temporary solution, I think, until the actual foundation of the website has changed a little bit. So stay tuned for that. Go check it out if you do have any questions. You can actually access the journals even if you're not a member on the website and get some great value from there. I send the nutrition one to people all the time, see even the goal setting one over there. So that's it, man. Those are the big business updates. And other than that, I just got to say it's Saturday actually right now when I'm recording this. which is huge because my goal has been to post up the podcast like the morning of the day that they're supposed to come out. So for instance, Friday morning or Monday morning, I just want them to be up. So as soon as you open up your phone, you can go to it and hit it for your drive to work. Take that pod straight to the dome, okay? And not this midday mumbo jumbo that I've been doing. Even though it has been consistent on the day, I want you to wake up to it. So I'll probably start posting it the night before. You can wake up, enjoy the pod, and get going with your week or your weekend. And that's it. Again, shout out to Stanley Hudson, man. I mean, what the heck? Let's get into the life update. Wow, you ready for a life update? I just spilt water all over my lap. Took a sip, both sides of my face, and it looks like I peed my pants. So yeah, I'm sitting here. I already admitted it's Saturday, and I gotta say I'm very excited for my ride this afternoon and tomorrow. So I'm gonna hit a road ride today, which is great because I've been on the trainer just the last couple weeks, and then I'm hitting a mountain bike ride tomorrow. Not sure on the details yet. Today's going to be short, but it's just going to feel good to get out, man. Fall weather is in full effect. It's going to be like high 60s and sunny, perfectly blue skies. I'm so stoked for that. But you know, the trainer the last couple weeks has been better than I expected. So for one, it has actually been kind of fun, but it is just so effective. You cannot deny how effective the trainer is. For one, you feel like on a road bike compared to a mountain bike, you just never stop pedaling. But when you get on a trainer versus even a road bike, you really never stop pedaling. And so what you can do in a short amount of time is really optimized, but it's just like all the variables are taken away. You can focus so much on your pedal stroke. Like just your pedal stroke, your cadence, what muscles are firing, you know, what knee position you're in, where you're pressing through your foot, how you're breathing, where your hips are. It's just like, it's super cool. So that was a thing that kind of hit me, and I am excited for spending more time on the trainer this off season, hopefully doing trainer road. I think I figured out how to get my power meter thing set up. So very stoked on that. Really, you guys, it's November 2nd. And we're going to finally have the time change. Thank goodness. I get to the gym at 5 a.m. and sun's not even coming up till 7:30. So I feel like I'm working through the night right now. That'll be a nice little change. But we just had Halloween and it was rad. I've pretty much changed my vocabulary from saying avocado to autocado because Otto was an avocado for Halloween and he was the autocado. And literally the whole last week I've said I can't even say it. I've meant to say avocado multiple times, and I just say autocado randomly. So super cute. And we had no reason to dress up, Lish and I. It was kind of strange because last year I was a Playboy bunny, very sexy. The year before that, I was a broomstick, and she was a witch. We ended up lighting the top of my broom on fire, which was on and around my head, while I chugged a beer. So we've come a long way in the last couple of years, and now my son's the only one dressing up. And actually, I was really bummed we didn't pull together like a family costume. I love like seeing them. It's just fun, man. I like the holidays. I like dressing up. I typically prefer wearing drag for some reason. I'll talk to my dad about that one, I guess. But yeah, it's just kind of funny, like, to not do it. I didn't want to be the guy who had a kid and just doesn't celebrate all of a sudden. But truthfully, man, it was the last thing on my mind. There's just been so many new things that going over and relaxing my parents was awesome. My mom, the spread, you guys, I just got to talk about this for a second. She had chili dogs to start. That was the main dish. After the chili dogs, we have pumpkin chocolate chip cookies, Twizzlers, and powdered donuts that look like eyeballs with like gummy candies in the middle, and sangria, and this like charcuterie board with, you know, goat cheese and fig jam and all this amazing stuff. I'm not even gonna lie, I just ate whatever I wanted, and it was fun, but I was straight up sick the next day. Yesterday I almost sharted, first of all. I think I just got to put that out there. And secondly, I almost puked a few times. So that should just give you an idea of where my system was at. Why did I just say that? I'm leaving it in. Screw it. So anyways, Halloween's super fun. It's November and it is just fall full effect. So I hope you're enjoying the fall. And that's it, man. Just like happy, fun stuff going on, really. Getting a good handle on work-life balance. But I do want to say I have a client that's pretty sick right now. I want to give a shout out to my client, Pete. And I've missed him in the gym and been pretty worried about him. And it's just been a reminder too, just to really appreciate the help that you have that's just been given to you for no reason, man, because we don't deserve it really. We just are lucky to have these bodies that work so well. So that's it, man. Life update. Be grateful. And I hope you're as happy as I'm feeling right now. Let's get into the bulk of this episode. Protein. Time to talk about it. We are officially in the bulk of the episode. This is why you're here. It's time to learn. And I'm going to start by letting you in on a little secret. If you haven't been around a big box corporate gym in a while, here's what everyone's talking about. It's not how much do you bench, what are you doing later, do you take creatine, are you on steroids, is that your boyfriend, girlfriend? No, no, no. Everyone just wants to know, how much protein are you eating, bro? I gots to know about the protein, bro. That's what they really want to know. And what's cool is that people genuinely understand how much they need, but it takes a little bit of time to think about it, to learn and implement. So let's kind of start by giving you an idea of what protein is and how much you actually need. So protein is a macronutrient. Protein is one of three macronutrients. The three are carbohydrates, fats, and protein. Carbohydrates and protein are 4 calories per gram, while fats are 9 calories per gram. So it kind of gives you an idea of why you can eat so much more carbs and protein just by volume than fat, because they're less than half the calories per gram. You know, just a small amount of fat, like olive oil, can be a lot of calories just because they're so dense in calories. So that's kind of what they are as a macronutrient. There's a lot of arguments that alcohol is like a fourth macronutrient. Don't worry about any of those other ones, but we're just going to talk about protein. And the funny thing about this macronutrient specifically is that it's almost like been grouped into this culture of bodybuilding, to where it's like just talking about protein is now putting you in this category where you're talking about creatine, and then all of a sudden you're talking about steroids, or I don't know. It's just a funny thing how it's gotten so ingrained in that culture, to where you say protein and all of a sudden someone thinks you're just broing out when it's just one of the most fundamental things that we eat. And in my opinion, even as endurance athletes, as cyclists, it's the most important macronutrient that you do eat, because it's the most directly related to muscle repair and just recovery in general. And it's also really good at helping you control your weight, whether you want to maintain, whether you want to lose weight. Going into a surplus, that's kind of where you rely a little heavier on like carbs and fat. But that's because proteins are so dense. Like they sit in your system, in your stomach, a lot heavier than a lot of carbs and fats do for most people. I've also noticed that it seems like people can fluctuate their carbs and fat either depending on how active they are. It's kind of a form of carb cycling, you know, daily or weekly, or just based off of personal preference. There are some people that prefer to have higher fat. There are some people that prefer to have higher carb. Typically, most endurance people are optimal on higher carb. We won't get into that, but that just gives you an idea that those things tend to fluctuate a lot. You can have success in either area, but it seems like protein is the one that you kind of need to be hitting a minimum to be optimal. There's always going to be some argument against it, but the real scale that I've followed and believe in that is very proven, and I'd say probably the most commonly agreed upon, is that you want 0.8 grams of protein per pound of body weight at the minimum, all the way up to 1.1 grams of protein per pound of body weight. Now, there are people that do less, and you can be perfectly healthy on less, but I don't think it's optimal as an athlete or someone who's just very active with riding and strength training. That's the truth. You go beyond it, now you are going more toward this bodybuilding culture, to where, man, I just watched this guy, his video, he was 165 pounds eating 225 grams of protein per day. When you start measuring that, which we're going to talk about, that is so much. I cannot imagine. I really cannot imagine doing that in a way where I wasn't eating like, I don't know, 4,000 calories a day or something like that. It would be so difficult. So, and yeah, just my stomach, there'd just be so much. So 0.8 grams, I would really, really encourage you to make that your new minimum. And so all you do is take your weight per pound, you put it into a calculator, you times it by 0.8, and that's going to spit out your minimum gram number of protein that you should be hitting each day. Now, as you start getting leaner, you're going to probably want to rely on protein, honestly, to keep you full is a huge thing, but also to try and maintain muscle mass as you're like losing weight. So if you're in a deficit, it's normal to lose muscle mass. You have to be in a surplus to gain muscle. You kind of have to maintain and maintain. And then if you're starting to lose it, you can maintain a good amount, but it's normal for you to shed a few pounds of muscle along with your pounds of body fat. So eating more protein not only keeps you more full, it ensures that you're going to keep as much muscle mass as you can. And it also is just going to mean that you're optimally repairing based off of all the stress you're putting on your body. So I would say at the minimum, make sure you're hitting 0.8 grams. I've moved it up to 1 gram per pound of body weight. 1.1, there's days where I'll do it. It feels good when I'm really, really trying to stay lean, but also it is a kind of a push. So make sure you're hitting the 0.8 grams at least, and then go from there. You can kind of decide. It's definitely worth trying out, but this doesn't get around the reality that to really know how much protein you're eating, you have to track your food. Now, this isn't you tracking everything. It is just tracking your protein. And there's obvious sources that we're going to talk about. You know, you can think in your head, oh, you have eggs and lean meats and powders and all that stuff, which we'll discuss, but you kind of want to track everything while you're tracking just for your protein, because there are things called trace proteins in foods that they're basically, it's protein in food that you wouldn't really expect protein to be in, and it does help you get to your total. So if you have like oats or something like that, you could have some protein in there, or a slice of bread, or these grains, or even some vegetables. Like I ate Brussels sprouts the other night and I was like, whoa, these actually have, you know, not a huge amount of protein, but more than I expected in there. So when you track those, it does help you get to that goal faster, and it is the true amount of protein you're eating. So again, if you want to figure it out, the only way is to track your food. I'm a huge believer in it. Download MyFitnessPal, make that a priority, and you only have to do it like for a week or two, and then you'll really understand how much you're eating, and you can carry on those habits. Like, it doesn't have to be this lifelong thing. You check in, you use it for a while, and then you check back in occasionally. So that is how much protein that you need as an athlete. That is how to figure it out. If you go to my website, dialedhealth.com, you can go to the journals and see nutrition guidance, and there's a the journal is called Nutrition Guidance, and it kind of gives you a breakdown of how to track your food. And they'll even discuss what we're talking about in regards to the protein. So check that out if you have any questions, and you can reach out. And let's kind of talk about some marketing and things to be aware of. When it comes to choosing foods to eat that have a high protein source, please be so cautious and beware of marketing. Protein is like such a buzzword right now, and fats are too a little bit. We're back to the whole low carb craze, which is crazy. This has already been done before on the Atkins diet, like all this paleo, keto, whatever. But protein has been a constant thing that's just been marketed because, again, it's like the ultimate macronutrient, right? So everyone wants more protein. Typically, protein is a more expensive thing to find because you're kind of getting it from meats and sources like eggs and just not as cheap of a product, honestly. So what you'll see on the most random things will just be like protein packed. And it's like, what the heck does that mean? So all of a sudden you have someone being like, oh my gosh, I'm grabbing these nuts because they have so much protein. And the reality is that they have triple the amount of fat that they do in protein. They have more carbs than they do actual protein. And you just were, you know, captivated by the protein packed label and packaging that it had on it, but you didn't actually read the nutrition label. So just keep that in mind. Like, so many things out there that I see are like protein packed. And, you know, I'm going to give you an example right now. So 1 ounce of cashews, you know, unarguably the best nut out there. Okay. Cashews, come on now. So cashews, 1 ounce, we're talking 5 grams of protein, 14 grams of fat, and 9 grams of carbs. Okay, so kind of gives you the idea there. If you got 1 ounce of beef jerky, this is the standard Raley's brand. There are some beef jerkies very high in sugar, but standard Raley's brand, 1 ounce, 11 grams of protein, 1 gram of fat, 5 grams of carb. like literally way less fat, almost non-existent. The carbs are almost half that they were in the cashews, and the protein is more than double. Okay, so when you're talking about choosing a snack, there are these manipulations you can make in just the specificity in the food that is just like, I've said specificity a lot, specificity, but it's things that you need to look out for that add up at the end of the day. Because now it's like, okay, so now I can have 2 ounces of the beef jerky, get literally like quadruple as much protein as I would have in 1 ounce of cashews, and my calories are still the same. And it more likely, more often than not, will line up with your macros and is a very, very helpful way to do it. Obviously, there's other things to factor. Don't overthink it. You know, we can typically handle a little more sodium as cyclists if you're sweating a lot, but beef jerky has a lot of sodium. So do a lot of deli meats, and you don't want to rely on it. But again, a little snack throughout the day, not bad. But just don't choose something that really isn't that protein packed to fulfill your protein needs or justify it as a good healthy snack. Literally, there are some protein things I've seen packaged foods that have like 2 or 3 grams of protein in them. Like I could go out and eat a fistful of dirt and probably get more protein from that. Okay. That is the real deal. Oh my gosh, it's so funny to me, and I feel bad for just people that get suckered into it. I have been there. I feel bad for myself. I guess not anymore, but just keep that in mind. Marketing will screw you. You'll waste your money, and then you'll be way more off on your diet than you actually think that you are. Now let's get into some very specific foods, and just I'm going to throw out a bunch of options at you guys and kind of let you know what I do throughout the day to get the most out of my protein. Things that have helped since I started tracking, because I will say, before I started tracking, I was on a very long streak. We're talking 10 years of steadily making my diet better and better. I did eat a good amount of protein. I was eating too many calories in total, but I was definitely underdoing my protein more than I thought. I was eating like, I don't know, around I'd say the 0.6 mark. And when I upped it up to I'm throwing all these points out. When I upped it to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, it was just like such a smack in the face of reality. And so the changes I made to the current foods I ate were really cool because they've stuck and they're foods that really didn't make a difference for me. And now I implement them and it's just so much easier for me to maintain a lower body fat. So for example, eggs. I used to eat 3 to 4 eggs almost every single morning. And so 3 to 4 eggs, you know, we're talking 70 calories and half of that is coming, the majority of those calories are coming from fat and not even protein. In my head, I'm like, oh, eggs, so much protein. So what I did was I basically started eating 1 egg and 6 egg whites instead of having 3 to 4 eggs. So the calories are actually lower. I'm getting way more protein and it's just a still filling voluminous, very high volume food that I barely noticed the flavor. I also stopped using butter on my eggs most days, and I use just like a Pam, like zero cal little spray. And it's great, man. It saves a ton of fat. I have the high volume of food. The taste is virtually the same. In fact, egg whites are way fluffier than normal eggs, and I like some fluff, okay? So really filling. I recommend trying that one. And that's just one example of a way to manipulate a food that you already eat, but you're just changing it enough to make it actually coincide with the diet that you want, the body that you actually want, without noticing its impact too much. So the next thing I did was realize that I actually need to eat a good amount of protein at lunchtime and at dinner time, because a lot of times I'd have like a very low protein lunch, you know, like we're talking like PB&J and carrots or something. And again, it's depending on the quality of your ingredients, it can be a pretty healthy, just kind of normal lunch, whatever. But I also realized if I don't have 8 ounces of protein at lunch, and well, I won't get into this yet, but 8 ounces of protein at lunch, it's probably gonna throw me off and make it harder to catch up later in the day. So I also learned that having 8 ounces of red meat at lunch is just too much for me. Like it's actually just heavy. I feel gross. I feel tired. But 6 ounces of red meat for me is great. 6 or 8 ounces of like ground turkey, chicken, canned tuna, something like that is a really great option for me. It helps me stay light. It also fills me up. Again, I'm very full. I can drop my carbs and I know I'm like on track for protein and I'm getting a solid, you know, 30, 40, or more grams of protein just from that. And so that was a good little personal thing just with the red meat too. I also want to point out with the red meat, remember, red meat, you guys, is not unhealthy for you. Okay, I'm just going to flat out say it. There's different qualities. There are things in red meat you almost can't get from anything else. And it's just very, very healthy. And the reason sometimes people's health improved, I was talking to my brother-in-law about this. So he cut out red meat and has noticed some weight loss, is feeling better. And the reality is, it's not red meat itself, very specifically, that is making you lose weight or gain weight. It's the foods that it's typically served in. Avoiding red meat typically means you're going to avoid high calorie, high fat dishes with a lot of grease. And so we're talking like all meat pizza, or I don't know, some lasagna, or insert any cheesy beefy thing in that context, you know. So keep that in mind. Oh, you know, is it this actual food itself, or is it typically what it's served with? That's kind of a funny just little insight to diet that I've noticed over the years. So remember, you have good lean proteins. You can eat a good amount of it. I just noticed that if I have red meat more than once per day, I just feel a little bit heavier. It goes through your digestive system slower. And yeah, even taking breaks off it to be easy on your intestines, let them kind of go through a cycle without it. This is kind of going to a different topic, but I think it has its place. I would just say, do what feels good for you. I notice at night, 8 ounces of red meat is totally fine for me. And so with that being said, let's kind of move on to dinner. So dinner, same thing. Just make sure you have some source of meat. If you don't and you're going to go strictly vegetarian, you better load up on the Brussels and the chickpeas and all that kind of stuff. Because again, these are kind of trace proteins that you're pulling from. And it's just so much easier and so much more satisfying to get it from actual meats. You can also get creative. Don't forget about like pork, and make it easy too. I am notorious for just opting for a teriyaki bowl, because we'll just throw some ground beef, some sliced up chicken, or whatever meat we have. We'll throw it in a bowl with rice, a bunch of veggies, and we have this awesome gluten-free teriyaki sauce that we just throw on the top, and it's delicious every single time. I never get sick of it. And we have that some probably 2 or 3 nights a week for dinner. And so that is kind of the base of your actual meals themselves. Now, when you get into snacks, you really want to optimize the use of a protein powder. So protein powder is not mandatory to be healthy in your diet. However, it is going to make hitting your protein goal so much easier. It's convenient. It's easy to digest. It's easy to get down. And a lot of times, especially if you're going to use a whey protein, they are delicious. You're borderline drinking a milkshake. I am not exaggerating. They taste so freaking good. Unfortunately for me, I don't do milk anymore. And like, I stopped drinking it for a year, and I can never go back. So whey protein is enough of dairy that just throws me off, and I just have to opt for a vegan protein. Totally fine. The only problem is it's hard to find a good tasting vegan protein. Most of them taste like fish food, and they're insanely healthy. There's nothing wrong with the actual quality of them. Some of them are a little lower in protein. I would say when you're shopping for a protein powder, make sure each scoop or serving has at least 20 grams. At least 20 grams. That's your minimum, because you want to be able to double up on scoops and get 40 grams if you're making a shake. Or if you have the 20 and you're just throwing it in some milk real quick, that's fine too. I mean, especially if you're drinking regular milk, you're going to get protein from that as well. So you're looking at the double whammy. But my favorite protein, I have no affiliation with these people, and it's kind of funny because they're a total like bodybuilding brand, but it's Ghost Lifestyle Protein. It's their vegan protein. It is delicious. They have a peanut butter cereal milk and a pancake batter flavor, and they're the best tasting vegan proteins I've ever had. I've probably tried 6 or 7 other ones that I can even name off the top of my head, maybe even more. And again, some of the quality is really good, but they just don't taste as great. I'll actually say, so Cranked Naturals has really, really quality protein. The taste, I think, is second best compared to Ghost, but they have a lot of anti-inflammatories in them. A lot of like turmeric and tart cherry and like cinnamon and a lot of things that help with just reducing inflammation. And I got to give them credit. Like, when you take that after a ride, it genuinely feels like it works. It really does. Fortunately for me, I don't have a ton of inflammation in my body, so I just opt for the one that tastes really good. And that's kind of how I do it. So when you have it post-workout, It's amazing. Don't feel the need to take protein directly after your workout. It's, you know, kind of the whole anabolic window where you can take in more calories because your metabolism's up and you're burning and your body's like more readily available to absorb nutrients. That is real, but it's not quite as urgent as people think. I don't know. It changes. It changes. It goes from 1 hour after a workout to half an hour to just as soon as possible to now it's like, within a couple hours, you're good. That I would say I'm just usually hungry after a workout. So it just happens that I eat. If you're someone, don't feel stressed out because you're not getting your protein in right after. There's people that literally don't eat around their workouts and they are insanely fit and just quality athletes. So don't stress about that. I would just say look at your total day, and then within your consistency, you'll find the things that kind of make the most sense for you and the preferences, even like me not having more than 6 ounces of red meat at lunch. So those are the little things you learn. Really, really, again, I recommend a protein powder. In fact, if you order that Ghost stuff, I have no affiliation, but I use this YouTuber's discount code, and it's CG. That's it. All caps, CG, discount code, saves you like 20% or something like that. So anyways, I don't know why I'm shouting it out so hard. It's just what I use and I believe in it. So other than that, we have bars. Now, bars can, if you eat whey protein, you have hit the jackpot because the quality is not super high. You're going to have artificial ingredients, a lot of sugar alcohols, but the taste of these bars, man, you might as well be eating a freaking Butterfinger, Snicker, Kit Kat, Twix combo all in this one little 30 gram protein packed bar. That's like, 250 calories. It's amazing. But unfortunately for me, that's not going to fly. So what I typically opt for are RX bars. Now, they do have protein in them. I will say there's more fat than protein. They're a very balanced bar. They're like 210 calories. I don't have one in front of me, but I know that the fat, I think, is in the teens, protein is in the low teens, and the carbs, I'm not sure. I think it's in the 20s somewhere. But there's like 10 ingredients in each bar. The protein is actually egg white powder or egg whites or whatever, however they do the mixture. And they're delicious. They taste great. They feel great in your system. I totally recommend them. But I also use this brand No Cow. This is when I need more protein, but I actually don't have a lot of calories left. And I'll just say, these don't taste great. They're very grainy. Vegan protein is a lot more grainy than typically like whey protein. So these bars, I don't think they taste great, but like the numbers on them are so good that I just crave them, and they're really accessible to me. I have a CVS in my gym parking lot, so I walk over, I get my No Cows. They're always on sale, I think probably because they don't taste very good, but dude, they just got the macro count that I'm looking for. So don't be afraid to test it out. Quest Nutrition, delicious. A lot of times, you guys, the trade-off with more dieting specific foods are equality versus your actual nutrition count, I guess. So you have your quality, which is like, how natural is this food? How processed is this food? Is it very processed? Well, the more processed it is, the probably better it's going to be on your macros, to be honest. The least amount of processing it's having is probably going to be more average on macros, but in the long run, more healthy for you. So I think you should sort of balance it out. It's like drinking a diet soda. You're not going to gain weight. Is it the most healthy thing for you? No, it's not. Is it better than drinking water? No, it's not. Would you absolutely lose your mind if you didn't allow for any of these things? I believe so. I believe it really helps with your consistency to know, for you what is worth it and what is not worth it. And it's good to have hard boundaries, especially at certain times. But man, it's like, especially if you're in a weight loss mode, if you don't have some sort of good tasting outlet and you can get it through these proteins, man, it's tough. It's really, really tough. And side note, I started trying more stevia. Man, it's just really not sugar. But again, if you're focused on what your macros are, it can help a bunch. So anyways, protein bars along with the powders, very much up to you on what you want and what you're looking for, but I highly recommend having them on hand. So other than those, we have basically just lunch meats. So lunch meat, you're not going to put this turkey that is a deli turkey on your rice and eat it, but you could take 2 or 3 ounces of it with you and eat it on the fly with some carrots, and that's an incredible snack because we're just going lean protein, high protein, and low calorie. Just be careful, nitrates, obviously there's a lot of hubbub about that, but it's really the sodium that you're kind of looking out for. You don't want to like start your day with a chicken apple sausage, have some beef jerky as your snack, and then move on to more meat and then like a, you know, turkey breast, deli turkey. It's just you're starting to push it. So pick and choose one. I would never eat a lunch meat and a beef jerky in the same day. I think that's just personally just too much sodium. So keep that in mind. But you can buy nitrate-free, so low-sodium versions of it. Sprouts Market, if you have one close to you, has really good options there. And those are also good snacks. Like I mentioned the canned tuna earlier. Double up on those things. Incredible. Mix it with mustard, a bunch of pepper, throw some like Tabasco on there. It's so, so freaking good. So those are all options that I would really lean on in regards to your protein intake, because it's probably going to take some combination of all those things to get you where you need to be. And I really would be surprised if you didn't like the way that you felt by eating more of this protein. I don't think I've ever had someone say that they didn't like it. You know, there's friction when it comes to the extra cost of buying the meats. That's very real. The protein powders and stuff, very real. There is more cost included. But what you're really doing is investing in yourself in the long run. And this is like typical trainer thing to say, but if you either pay now or you pay later. You pay now with the food that you put in your body, or you pay later with medications you're putting in your body. That's about as real as I can get. Obviously, we can't predict the future. Some people are going to pay now and pay later. That sucks. It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny, but that is just a great, really great reality check there. So those are the examples I would try out. And thanks for listening, man. I hope this helps. This is the stuff I eat on a regular basis. It's made a huge, huge impact for me this year. And again, I just think you're going to feel great and have that real power feeling of being able to manage your weight and know that you're recovering the way that you should be from your workouts. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I genuinely hope this adds value to your life via more protein. If you have any questions or you want to give me a suggestion for another topic, reach out to me through dialedhealth.com or on my Instagram at dialedhealth. Also, you guys, a huge favor I'm asking is for you to go to the Apple Podcast app to give me a 5-star review and a little written comment and just saying, wow, Derek, I can't believe you had Stanley Hudson on your show. That's all you need to say. That would be huge to help this podcast grow, along with you taking a screenshot of your phone and posting it to your Instagram, tag Dialed Health. I will repost you and I will love you forever. With that being said, start moving forward and discover your path. I'll see you Friday.